This morning, we are continuing with sermon number two of out of our book, Rich Towards God. And many of you have had that book, but if you did not get a chance to pick that up, you can get one out at the Welcome Center. And if you do, I want to encourage you to go ahead and read chapter three for next week. But today we're continuing, and it's going to be entitled Opening the Windows of Heaven. But today's this message today is based on an expository approach from Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. But it also emphasizes trusting in God's plan for giving and encouraging us to grow beyond seeing tithing as a legalistic demand. I mean, instead, we need to give out of love and worship, believing that God will empower us to give and to receive. But Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse 6. I am the Lord. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Now I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. Now on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. You know, what I'm learning about tithing, I mean, we often talk in the church about tithing. I mean, put your tithes and offering in the plate as it's passed. I mean, but what is a tithe? You see, tithe is simply an old English word that means one-tenth. I mean, tithing refers to the practice of giving at least 10% of one's income back to God to be used in ministry. I mean, another way of saying this is tithing is tenthing. You know, see, let's try this. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and this is the Lord's. You know, if you make $3,000 a month, then your tithe is $300 a month. Well, that seems like a lot, doesn't it? But you know what? It is still only one penny of every dime. You know, strictly speaking, a tithe isn't just any gift. I mean, you can't have a tithe of 5% or 7% or 12%. A tithe, by definition, is 10%. I mean, anything more than that is just an offering. It's an over and above gift. Now, you see, in the Old Testament, the tithe was used to pay the priests, to take care of the poor, and to maintain the tabernacle and later the temple. In Numbers 18:26, it instructs that the priests were not even exempt from the tithe either. It was a command for everybody. Now, the tithe was not just a suggestion. It wasn't a guideline only for the wealthy or the super spiritual. I mean, tithing opens up windows for God to bless us. I mean, the word in Hebrew is translated window, floodgate, and chimney. I mean, it refers to openings created between God and us. And there are four windows or openings that tithing allows us to experience. First of all, the window of loyalty. Let's read Matthew 3:10 again. It says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Now test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." See, God says, test me in this. I mean, it is the only time where we're told that we can test God. Tithing is one of the ways God creates a bond of loyalty between Him and us. But why is tithing important? Well, let me tell you this. You know, there were two men shipwrecked on an island. The minute they stepped foot on the island, one of them started screaming and yelling, "We're going to die. I mean, there's no food, no water. We're going to die." The second man was propped up against a palm tree, acting so calmly it drove the first man crazy. He says, "Don't you understand? We're going to die." The second man replied, "You don't understand. I make $100,000 a week." The first man looked at him quite dumbfounded and asked, "What difference does that make? We're on an island with no food, no water. We're going to die." The second man answered, "You just don't get it. I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe 10% on that $100,000 a week to my church. My preacher will find me." No, that's not why it's important. No, it's important because of the frequency that it's in the Bible. I mean, there are more than 50 references in Scripture about tithing. I mean, it's important because of the symbolism. I mean, the tenth, it symbolizes the total, that God owns it all. God owns everything. You know, see William Pollard, he said, "The parable of the talents is a real live parable today. See, I don't feel that I own anything. My talents are the financial resources I have. I really just hold them in trust, and they're in trust to be used and multiplied. Giving is a process of investing and reinvesting." You know, there's also, it's important because there is God's heart, God's unchanging nature. I mean, chapter 3, verse 6 again of our text says, "I am the Lord, I the Lord do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." See, God does not change. He's unchanging. And if He says to tithe in the Old Testament, He is still telling us to tithe now. The Old Testament examples, there's tons of them. As I said, there's over 50 references of tithing. And Romans 15:4, it says this. It says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." You see, everything that's written is so that it will teach us. And then there's the higher standard of the New Testament. See, tithing is consistent with the New Testament principles of giving a great model of generosity. I mean, listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Now about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian church to do. Now on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collection will have to be made." You know, tithing says I'm loyal to God and He's loyal to me, that I can trust Him to take care of me. But it does mean God will take care of us. He will. I mean, the cable TV might have to be canceled, and we might have to learn to like water rather than buying pop, and we might have to buy our clothes from Walmart or Target or even Goodwill rather than Macy's. But if we're faithful in our giving, God will be faithful to meet our needs. You know, when I was 18 years old, I preached on the weekends at a little church in DeSoto, Texas. I did college Tuesday through Friday. wrote a sermon on Saturday, then drove about an hour away on Sunday mornings to a little church of about 35 people. Now, I made $25 a week, which left me $9 of taxable income each week once mileage was figured in. Now, every Sunday, I would put money in the offering plate because that's what I was taught to do as a little child, and I've never failed to keep that standard. Now, one Sunday, Amy, she had driven down with me, and I looked in my wallet, and I saw a $10 bill, that and a few cobwebs. But I realized immediately I was faced with a decision. I mean, I could keep that $10, promising to make it up next week, and we would have some money to eat lunch on the way home. Or I could just put the money in the offering plate, and we could declare that Sunday maybe a day of fasting. What I didn't realize, though, that God was about to teach this very young and very green preacher a very important lesson. See, after a short deliberation, I purposely put that $10 bill in the offering plate, knowing that Amy and I, we could find something to eat in Dallas later on that evening. Now, on the way out the door that morning after services, I'll never forget it. A man, back row, left side, every Sunday, same spot, kind of like around here, but he squeezed my hand with a firm grip, and when he took his hand away, he left a $10 bill there. Now, I had not said anything about my personal struggle that morning concerning the offering, but God wanted to make sure that I didn't miss his important lesson. The window of personal provision. Now, I don't tithe because I have to, but because I want to. See, the question is not, do I have to tithe? The question is, do I want to be blessed? You know, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 8 says this, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly and under compulsion, for God loves the cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." See, the results, generous sowing equals generous reaping equals having all that you need. You know, the provision will be more than you can handle. Look at verse 10 of Malachi 3 again. It said, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, he says, the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not room enough to store it." See, it may even be enormous. But I will tell you this, it will be appropriate for you and your situation. It will cause appreciation. Now, notice the floodgate or the windows. The floodgate or windows may be either open. You know, it says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me, this says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Because I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." Or it could be closed. Haggai 1, 7 through 11 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Now you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, which each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. I mean, I want to be blessed. How about you? You know, Andrea Hensley, she wrote, "It was a beautiful day for sightseeing around downtown Portland. We were a bunch of counselors on our day off away from the campers, just out for some fun. The weather was perfect for a picnic, so when lunchtime came, we set our sights on a small park in the town. And since we all had different cravings, we decided to split up, get what each of us wanted, and meet back on the grass in a few minutes. Now, when my friend Robbie headed for the hot dog stand, I decided to keep her company. We watched the vendor put together the perfect hot dog, just the way Robbie wanted it. But when she took out her money to pay him, the man surprised us. It looks a little on the cool side, he said, so never mind paying me. This will be my freebie of the day. We said thanks. We said our thanks, joined our friends in the park, and dug into our food. But as we talked and ate, I was distracted by a man sitting alone nearby looking at us. I could tell that he hadn't showered for days. Another homeless person, I thought, like all the others you see in cities. I didn't pay much more attention than that. We finished eating and decided to head off for more sightseeing. But when Robbie and I went to the garbage can to throw away my lunch bag, I heard a strong voice ask, "There's any food in that bag, is there?" It was the man who had been watching us. I didn't know what to say. "No, I ate it already." "Oh," was his answer, with no shame in his voice at all. He was obviously hungry, couldn't bear to see anything thrown away, and was used to asking this question. Now, I felt bad for the man, but I didn't know what I could do. That's when Robbie said, "I'll be right back. Please wait for me a minute," and ran off. I watched curiously as she went across to the hot dog stand. Then I realized what she was doing. She bought a hot dog, crossed back to the trash can, and gave the hungry man the food. And when she came back to us, Robbie said simply, "I was just passing on the kindness that someone gave to me." That day, I learned how generosity can go further than the person you give to. By giving, you teach others how to give also. There's the window of financial order. Now, I don't want to be selfish and rob God. See, tithing will put discipline in my spending. It will help me create a God-based budget. It will prepare me for true riches. See, tithing is only a starting point. The window of spiritual identity. Back to Malachi chapter 3. Look at verse 17 and 18. It says, "On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." See, tithing is only one part of what it means to be people of God. See, God promises that we are His treasured possession. This is a messianic passage, so we can know it points to our day as well. See, God is seeking people who have His heart, who can be trusted with His work, who wants to be like Jesus. See, tithing lets me experience greater financial protection and blessing. Tithing is a way to reverse the curse that we see in Malachi 3:9. See, all the Israelites had to do to be blessed was to start back and tithe. See, God didn't require them to pay back their back tithes. He just wanted them to start back to doing what was right, and He let them know that they would be blessed. See, the promise of Malachi 3 was never rescinded. See, God gives this promise about tithing just as He gave the promise about the rainbow. I mean, we believe God will keep His promise to never again destroy the earth by water, even though His promise is never repeated in the New Testament. So why is tithing any different? See, tithing exposes the doubt, the fear, the greed that tempts my heart. You know, the devil never gives up trying to trick, scare, or seduce us to lower our commitment to the Lord. See, tithing is actually a form of spiritual warfare. Tithing explodes ministry impact. You know, in recent years, the average per capita giving in churches in the USA has dropped from 2.5% to less than 2%. Now, according to one Gallup poll commissioned by the independent sector, a coalition of 800 nonprofit groups, Americans give. They give. In fact, 73% of us give something to somebody. But the average person donates only $880 a year. I mean, imagine what would happen if we all gave at least 10%. I mean, ministries started, projects funded, buildings paid for with cash. Even more than that, imagine what God might do. I mean, just think, we might could have the soup kitchen with community outreach open every Sunday. We might be able to give shoebox gifts to people all year long. We might be able to make a difference in our country, in our world, in our community. I mean, imagine what God can do. You know, tithing leads me to prioritize my relationship with God. You know, Eric Holstrom, he's from Benford, North Dakota. He said this: "While I was preaching one Sunday, an elderly woman, Mary, fainted and struck her head on the end of the pew. Immediately, an EMT in the congregation called an ambulance. As they strapped her to the stretcher and got ready to head out the door, Mary regained conscious. She motioned for her daughter to come near. Now, everyone thought that she was summoning her strength to convey what could be her final words. Now, the daughter leaned over until her ear was at her mother's mouth. 'My offering is in my purse,' she whispered to her." What a true commitment to tithing. She's about to leave to go to the hospital, but yet got to give my offering. True story. You see, I truly believe that tithing is part of our worship, part of the things that we do when we come to worship. Matter of fact, so often when we go out of town or we're not here for church to worship God, we'll make up our tithe the next time we're there. We'll make up our tithe there. Sometimes we forget. But yet, you know, actually have a lady who decided to go to her bank and do what they call bill pay so that they could send her tithe to the church weekly so that she doesn't forget to do her offering. I mean, what a way to be committed to the tithe, to give to the Lord. And it's not so that we can be blessed. It's so that we can be rich towards God. Pray with me. Father, I thank you so much for this day that we come to be able to worship you. We come to be able to just learn from your word and to give you glory and praise because you are such a gracious, good, good Father. But Father, we pray that we don't want to rob you from what you already own. And we don't want to rob you with our tithe and offering. Father, we know that we are blessed because of you. And Father, we know that you're going to use us to bless others. And I just pray that you will do that, that we just lay it all before you. But Father, it is because of Jesus that we do what we do. And it's in His name I pray. Amen. The praise team.